Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of South Geek News. I would say your humble host, but there's nothing humble about me. But anyway, I am Donovan Adkisson, and with us, as always, my co-host and cohort normally here, Ben.
That's me, and you're lucky I put a shirt on for this video.
Oh, this video that we are not recording and therefore will not be released. And
I'll just leave it up to the listener's imagination.
I'm not sure that's wise or safe.
Well, I am wearing a shirt.
Okay. But what color is the shirt?
Make it up.
Okay. All right. That works for me. And with us once again is our guest host. I will call him that, guest host. Samuel Lewis. Hey, Sam. Welcome back.
Yeah, Ben just, he's barely in his shirt. Just those rippling muscles are just struggling against a shirt that is every color. Every color you can imagine is on this shirt. It's amazing.
You better believe it.
Oh, wow.
You're missing out.
So he's wearing a pride shirt. It's a rainbow.
He's wearing a Colin Baker shirt. If you get that, I love you.
I do.
Listener's choice.
Well, it's good to be back. We're doing this all remote because, well, I felt like crap, and there you go. So the little housekeeping bit that I want to do is, so I did put out an episode, titled housekeeping or something to that effect. I forget. I did it yesterday, I believe, or day before. I can't remember. What is today? What is time? Anyway, this podcast, since last several episodes, has been hosted with Substack. And the reason why I did that is because a couple of reasons, really. Number one, it's free. You can do it for free. Plus, it has a very good mechanism for being able to do the membership stuff. It's great. Unfortunately, what happened was, I've been encouraging my wife to start a Substack. And so she's been reading up on it. She's trying to learn about it and what have you. And so I have a couple of different accounts. Now, the way Substack works is you can have a singular account and you can have multiple publications up under that one account, or you can have just one account, one publication. It's really up to you. So I literally have three accounts. One for Tifton Talks, one for Call Me Donovan, and then I had one for Tifton Media Works, which I had two publications up under, one of them being South Geek News. So I was showing her some of the back end stuff, and I logged into the Tifton Media Works, and I had this nice banner message in red up top that basically said, "Hey, your publications have been removed from public view because of a violation of our spam and phishing rules." This is not the first time that this has happened. And it was exactly what I suspected it was. It was a screw up on their part. Now, screw ups happen. I get that. We work in tech, Ben, and I know this. What ticked me off was the fact that I discovered this on Saturday and I opened a ticket. Got nothing but crickets. So Sunday rolls around, I open another ticket, crickets. Monday rolls around, I open a third ticket where I'm a little bit more forceful and stern, and I finally get a response after 6 p.m. Eastern time from one of their support people. I forget what they call it. It's like their safety team or something that deals with this kind of stuff. It says, "We apologize. Yes, your account was inadvertently tagged. That has been corrected." Now, that's all fine, well, and good, but why did it take 3 damn days for you to fix the thing? Because I know they work 24/7. They got people that can handle this 24/7. It's not like they kick off at 6 p.m. on a Friday and they don't come back and look at stuff until Monday morning. And I said, I said in the episode that I released about housekeeping was the fact that if I'd been a larger creator, one, probably wouldn't have happened to me. Two, if it had happened to me, I probably would have gotten a more immediate response because there's a chance I would have had a dedicated account rep or something like that. Long story short, I moved the damn podcast away from Substack and it's now hosted with Spreaker. Now, the upside with Spreaker is they do dynamic ad insertion. And so this podcast, the Tifton Talks podcast and the Call Me Donovan podcast, which are now over there, and I'll explain why I moved them all, is they're now enabled for dynamic ads. So we'll see if, you know, the few cents that we get out of that. They also have a kind of a membership thing, which I set back up for this. It's still $5. And I think it works similarly, but I don't know if you get your own dedicated RSS feed like you did before. So I'm still figuring that one out. Now, you may be asking, well, Donovan, why did you move all the podcast over there? Well, Donovan made a stupid mistake. When Donovan was trying to sign up for Spreaker and for the $20 a month plan, Donovan was screwing around, and at first he was going to do one way with the credit card, and it was through a service called Link. And I was like, no, I don't want to do that. So I refreshed the page, and then I started manually putting in all the credit card information. Well, what I failed to remember to do, and I say this is shame on Spreaker for doing this, I failed to hit the slider that moved it from annual back to monthly. So as soon as I hit the submit button, I realized what I had done. And instead of signing up for $20 a month, I paid for the whole year for $216. So therefore, I was like, well, I got it for a year. I might as well use it. Because I'm not even sure if I could have opened a ticket and said, hey, I made a mistake. I meant to do monthly. It just wasn't worth it. And I was so irritated and aggravated and pissed off at myself that I was just like, I'm just going to leave it. I'm just going to let it rock on. And well, this is a learning experience. So we're on Spreaker for the next year. And there you go. That's the housekeeping.
Well, at least there are no more decisions to make.
No, no, none whatsoever. And we'll see how this goes. You know, maybe it's a positive thing. I don't know. I know several podcasters that I listen to use Spreaker. So, I have used them in the past, probably 10 years ago. God, man, it's been a while. And, you know, back then their interface and everything was kind of clunky. Now it looks pretty good. So got that out of the way. So Sam, what have you been doing for the last 2 weeks?
When it comes to things of technology, occasionally I'm going to bring up video games and stuff like that because that's a side jag inside of it as well. There is this new game. I don't know if you guys have heard about it. In my cozy game life simulator realm that I tend to absolutely swim in at this point, I have a problem, and I know I do. There is this new game that has come out that has been branded, and I hate this phrase with a white hot passion anytime it happens, but I have to say it, The Sims Killer. So essentially people are saying this is going to be the thing that might knock The Sims off of its platform. It is a game called Inzoi, I-N-Z-O-I. And the reason why is you pay $40 for it. And with the roadmap that they're telling us about this thing, one, it's hyper realistic. So it's not like The Sims where it's cartoonish and all that stuff. Instead, it's like freaking realistic and everything like that. So it's wild, the detail that is in this thing. You can customize a character with like so many points of articulation. It's ridiculous. Like you can micro customize these things with all these points that you can pull and stuff like that. So the character creator, like, you spend time, let's put it that way. Even at basic levels, I spent at least an hour creating a character. Like that's, and I don't do all the tiny things that, like, I've had a friend that said they took two and everything. But there are things like for Ben, because you love all the AI stuff and everything. They do have their own AI system built into it for textures and stuff like that. They have trained it on just their stuff. So it's not trained on anyone else. It's just things that they own. So just people
for textures?
Yeah. For things like shirts and all sorts of things, shirts, objects, whatever you can come up with. It comes up with some interesting stuff. But you can also put in your own custom things. And here's a neat thing. There's a thing they call a 3D printer. I haven't tested this thing out yet, but I'm going to like scan studio equipment in it and stuff. You can take a picture of an object in real life, scan it into the game, and it will be an object in the game. So like,
oh, that's wicked.
Take custom pictures, put them on clothing. People have made Converses. They've made all of these things inside of this. So like the creative community in this thing is freaking insane at this point already. And it's just started because they were smart enough to put out the creative tools before the game came out. So people could already get their teeth sunk into it. The only thing I'll say is that I do kind of miss the whimsy. Like when it comes to comparing Enzoi and The Sims, I do miss that whimsy because the whimsy is what made me fall in love with The Sims in the first place. This is more serious and everything like that. And I think even the director said that they kind of got bummed that they couldn't put that kind of whimsy in there, but for what they were pulling off, they couldn't. But yeah, it's interesting. I still don't think it's going to knock The Sims off the pedestal, but given that they're saying, no, we're going to put a bunch of free updates in this thing, you're not going to have to buy expansion packs like you do with The Sims. Those are the sorts of things that make people go, this could be The Sims killer, essentially. Mm. So once they beef this thing up a bit more, like I had a one person household and there were times that I just didn't know what to do. So I'm going to test it out with a 3-person household and see how that works. But you know, they're just getting started, obviously, but it holds promise. Let's put it that way. I'm not ready to say it's the killer, but I am willing to say you're making your first baby steps and it's got promise at least.
Is it free? Is it free to play?
It's 40. So you pay $40 for the thing.
Okay.
Wait, one time?
Yes. One time payment.
Yeah. Cause whenever I'm presuming what I'm looking at is what you're talking about. If you go to playenzoi.com, yeah, I'm watching one of the game footage videos now of someone putting the roof on their house. That looks pretty cool. Let's see. Oh, that was thunder. Okay, yeah, if I click play, then it takes me over to the Steam. So it's early access, $39.99. Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, I was going to make a joke about the fact when you said that people are saying, oh, this is the Sims killer. And I was like, wait a minute, Sims is still a thing?
Oh, yeah.
That was my first thought.
Yeah,
because the Sims 4 is currently what we're on, and people are worried about what EA is going to do with it. The Sims community is about as volatile as any other fan community. So just imagine any fandom you're in the level of complaining, that's The Sims too as well. Yeah, some people are getting annoyed with things. I'm not, but they're essentially saying that The Sims 4 is going to be the last Sims game and they're going to platform it, for lack of better terms, and people are getting really nervous about that concept. But yeah, we'll see. So
what do they mean? What do they mean platform it? Like lock it down to a particular platform?
No, as in it's going to be the thing that they put all the new stuff into.
Just that one game?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, but, and this is EA, right?
Yeah.
Don't they have other properties?
Yeah, they do. What I meant was that this is the last Sims thing.
So basically, so this is the Windows 10 idea. This is the last operating system that there will ever be, and we'll just keep adding all the stuff to Windows 10. So
yeah,
Okay. So Sims 4 will be the last one. We'll just keep updating it and adding stuff to it, and that's it. There's never going to be another Sims 5, 6, or 7 or whatever.
Yeah, okay. Essentially.
Okay.
Is what they're going with. And that's got some people nervous because it's EA. Some.
Well, I mean, if they follow
my own things,
they follow Microsoft, then it won't be because, you know, Windows 10, now Windows 11. So. Mm-hmm. Of course, they came out and said, well, we never really said Windows 10 was going to be the last version. Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did. Oh, well, that's cool. I'm not going to pay $40 for it. Cool. But, and of course, I'm not a big Sims guy anyway. I mean, the closest I get to Sims is I play Minecraft on my own Minecraft server. And I play it in creative so I can go in there and be God and do whatever it is that I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I'm in there just to build stuff and destroy stuff and explore, that type of thing.
It's your own advanced set of Legos.
Basically it is. And I even run the Dyn map so I can see I can pull it up on a web page and see the places that I've explored. So, well, that's cool. That is cool. Other than that, what else you got been going on?
Yeah, school, all of that stuff. You know, the usual stuff that's been going on.
I got you.
That's why I picked that as a highlight.
I understand. What about you, Ben? I mean, I saw you Friday, so.
Yeah. I'm just, you know, keep on keeping on. I carry a journal. Well, not a journal, but a book that I just write everything in.
Yeah.
If I have to write something, it goes in there. I finished another volume, started a new one.
Oh, wow.
And I've moved to it's instead of lines, it's graph paper inside.
Oh, okay.
That's neat.
So, yeah, trying that out. That's really exciting.
The look on his face.
You excited one of us. There's an organizational nerd in the room. So,
hey, my wife actually prefers to use graph paper for most things that she does just because of the utility of being able to, what you can do with graph paper. I mean, you'd look at it and go, I'm not going to use that to write. And then you go to actually start doing it and it's like, oh,
man,
now so, I know.
Because I draw diagrams too.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It makes sense. I actually have a journal that I have. It's a leather-bound journal. I think I know where it's at. Actually, it may be on the shelf behind me. That my wife gave me some years ago for a birthday present, I think. Anyway, and she was like, you know, here, journal, whatever. And for several years, I religiously journaled. I think the last time I wrote in it was either 2017, 2018, something like that. I don't know. I converted all of my journaling into podcasting or substacking or whatever, you know. Walk around my yard holding my phone, doing a video, or have my AirPods in or my lapel mics or whatever. I mean, hell, this morning I head out to the office. It's bright. It's light enough, rather, that it's not pitch black, but you don't see the sun yet. And of course, it's foggy. And the first thing that I noticed when I walked out was that the local birds, apparently they were having a conference that they didn't let anybody else know about because they were loud. And I do mean loud. Matter of fact, I'm going to do this the cheap way. But I opened up my office and went back outside and stood in my driveway and then just recorded a minute of this.
It's not coming through.
Yeah, the noise canceling is what's going on.
Y'all won't hear it, but it's in the recording.
When you talk, it let it through. And yeah, we heard it then.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Thank you, Discord. But anyway, yeah. So that was kind of cool, actually. But yeah, I don't write in. I probably need to pull that journal back out.
It's therapeutic.
It is. One of my pet peeves about it, though, is my writing style changes from the top of a page to the bottom of the page, depending on how fatigued my hand gets. Yeah, there's probably some joke there I'm not even going to touch. But and so as I get closer to the bottom of the page, and it also depends on whether I write on the back side of it. You know, do you write just on the right-hand side of it and just leave the back of it? Because if you do, then you're only using half the journal. So I got tired of that. I mean, it got to the point where my handwriting was almost illegible when you get closer to the bottom of the page. So I actually prefer notepads. I bought a stack of those from Amazon several years ago. So I have them. Hell, Ben, you probably see me write on them. But like the other day, Friday, you know, I write on them, that kind of stuff. And then usually what I do is whenever I fill one up, I'll rip all the pages out and I will scan them and then store them on my network storage. I don't know if I ever go back and look at them, but, you know, they're there for somebody, you know, 1,000 years from now, whenever they can figure out how to read these hard drives. If you haven't figured out, ladies and gentlemen, this is a very low energy episode of South Geek News.
Donovan is ill.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's ill, if it's this damn pollen or whatever. I did wake up this morning with a tickle in my throat. My first thought was, oh, hell no. I got stuff to do. So anyway, all right, well, let's get this show on the road because, you know, I pretty much haven't done anything for the last 2 weeks except what I normally do. I didn't even write in a journal, so Ben's got me beat on that one. All right. Hot off the presses. This one actually added this afternoon, and it surprises no one. ChatGPT subscribers and revenue soar in 2025, and here's why. This is an article from ZDNet. So according to a recent report from The Information, ChatGPT's revenue has experienced significant growth, generating at least $415 million per month. That's a nice little chunk of change right there. 30% increase in just 3 months. The company added 4.5 million paying subscribers since the end of 2024. This growth is attributed to several new features, including access to Sora, which is their video generation model, screen sharing and visual capabilities in advanced voice mode, new GPT-4o image generation model with improved capabilities, which I got to say, that's actually, this thing is getting more and more impressive every single day. Sometimes I try something, I think about what can I throw at it, and it does it. And I'm like, yep, this is how we die. However, this rapid growth has led to some challenges, with CEO Sam Altman warning users about potential service delays and capacity issues. The company is actively seeking additional GPU capacity to handle the increased demand. Which is funny because whenever you were talking about that game, I have ChatGPT as my default search. So I went looking for it and it actually popped up a window over it and it said, hey, the image generation is going to take a little bit longer, but now it's even better. Do you want to try it now? And I'm like, I'm in the middle of trying to search for something. No, I don't want to try it right now. But it's, have either of you used its new image generation tools inside of ChatGPT? Because all you got to do is just open up ChatGPT and say, generate an image and just give it some things. And usually within 2 to 3 minutes, it'll give you usually a 1024 by 1024 square image.
Yeah, I did one. It was that airplane pulling the banner.
Is that where you got that from? I figured that's probably where you did that. Yeah.
If you have an idea, you just make an image of it.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah.
I need to see how far I can push this thing's limits, because I use, the only time I use like AI image generation is when I need to come up with a character reference for a tabletop game that I'm running or in, you know, that sort of thing where people aren't suddenly going to go, how dare you use AI? You know, that's, I keep myself away from that particular situation. But I know the one that I was using, I think it's called Leonardo or something like that. I've got it bookmarked. Mm-hmm. There's a reason why. But I need to see if it can make aliens for me because I run a Doctor Who one. And I'll tell you, Leonardo chokes up the second that I try to describe something like an alien. It's like, the F are you on? I'm not going to make that. Like there was something that was like a humanoid centipede thing that I had to make or something like that. It just gave me a centipede. It didn't even try. So I'm curious what ChatGPT would come up with. So I may have to test it out.
How do you spell centipede? C-E-N-T-I-P-E-D. Yeah. All right. So I'm testing this out. Generate an image of an alien humanoid centipede. Any other characteristics that you'd want it to have?
Oh God, I've forgotten what it actually was at this point because this was months ago. In a space suit.
In a space suit. Okay, let's just go with that. All right, generate an image. It's getting started. This is where we need the Jeopardy music. Copyright strike. No. It does take a little bit, and there's another article further down. Okay, now it's not going to be a square image. So I have discovered that sometimes it'll give me a square image and then other times it'll give me a taller image, usually like a 1024 by 15 something. And then I'll have to say, regenerate it as a square image because it won't do an image larger. So far, I've not been able to get it to do an image larger than 1024. By 1024 square, because you know we got to have at least a 1400 by 1400, but the sweet spot is 3000 by 3000 for album art for podcasts. Mm-hmm. But they scale up really well. So it is still generating. Yay! it does take a little bit of time. And of course, this is emptying out one of the reservoirs in California while I'm doing it. Oh, that looks, that's a centipede? Okay, it's continuing. Hang on. I'm going to drag it over there as soon as it's finished. Okay, it's wearing a space suit. Dun, 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 dun. This is great radio.
So in the meantime, I've just had ChatGPT help me with the prompt for this image. I don't even want to write the prompt. Help me generate a prompt for an image. An image prompt for generating an alien in a Doctor Who themed enthusiast group. Oh, it gave me the prompt and I just copied that and hit the image button. And we're still waiting.
Okay, I'm about to drag this over. Let's see. Yep, I dragged it into our chat. It
took a long time to get started.
Yeah, it does. Hot
dang. I don't. Yes, that would work.
And see, I could go back and tell it add a helmet.
Yeah.
Let's see. And see, I like to be polite to our AI overlords. Can you please add a helmet to this?
Yeah, I don't want to be one of those who just barked out instructions. Yeah.
Do it.
I like
Do
to it. Say please and thank you.
Yes. Create this, you some bitch.
Yeah. What does this say about me? Because I am so just mechanical with how I use something like this. I'm like, do this.
Oh, that reminds me, I had let me see if I can pull this up. So I had asked ChatGPT to summarize an article, but I wanted it to be snarky. And so then it wasn't snarky enough. I said, can you be just a little bit snarkier? and it did it. And then here's the last thing it said after it generated that. You want it meaner, dumber, or more chaotic? I got levels. I went, oh, shit.
That's glorious.
And the other thing I did not realize is, so I created this thing earlier today. I had this idea I thought I was going to do for Call Me Donovan. And it has to do with feeling rudderless, if you will, at, you know, being in my mid-50s and all this other kind of stuff. And so I asked ChatGPT to write me up a little bit. And I gave it all these parameters about how I was feeling and et cetera, et cetera. And it did. And then it would ask me questions. It's like, well, do you want me to do this or do you want me to do that? And I was like, well, I want to do this for my Call Me Donovan podcast and et cetera, et cetera. This thing got very involved to the point, and this is now just striking me. It started getting real like cordial with me, like, Donovan, you got this. You can do this. And I'm like, oh, okay. That wow. You know? So, okay. So it added a helmet. Now, the only critique I have here is this is the kind of stuff that you always have to deal with.
Oh, that is beautiful. You realize you're going to have to somehow host these images for people to see now, don't you? And that's exactly what we're doing. Party.
I will. I'll, oh, that's nice. Yeah. I'll pull these out and I'll host them on Backblaze or something and link to them.
The woman with the Dalek dress in the back. I'm just saying that's a TARDIS poster detail.
And, like, and the cup of tea up front.
Yeah. All right. So here's the one. Here is with a helmet. One of his tentacles comes outside the helmet. So that's the only thing that there, but otherwise that's
right.
That's still pretty cool.
It's like third grade.
Third grade, man. Not doing so good.
All right. So, yeah, I have been, with all the naysayers out there talking about how, you know, it hallucinates and all of this kind of stuff. And look, you do need to check it and make sure that it hasn't made an error and stuff like that. But this, the image generation, the fact that I don't have to go to DALL-E or, what was it, Leonardo, the one you were talking about, yeah. Sam? You know, some other third party to be able to do it, which, well, actually, I think DALL-E was also belongs to OpenAI. But now you can just do it inside the app. And that's like the other day. I don't know if I hit the wrong button or whatever. So I've got ChatGPT on my phone. And I use it a lot of times for searches because to me, it just gives me more accurate and valuable information about whatever it is that I'm trying to look up than just do a normal search. And I guess I hit the wrong button and didn't even realize the app could do it. It started talking to me. We started having a conversation and like just conversation. Like I'd ask it something and then it'd tell me. And then I'd say, but what about this? And my daughter is sitting next to me and she's looking at me and Oriana's like, I hate it. I don't know. Do not. And she said, it's its tone. And then this is what got me. So when I first did this accidentally, it was a male voice. I like the male voice. So I went back to try it a second time and it gave me a female voice. And I was like, okay. So I asked ChatGPT, I said, can you change back to a male voice? And she said, yes, you can change it. I said, well, can you change it? She said, unfortunately, no, I cannot. You'll have to go into the settings, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, okay, whatever. So then I did, a few minutes later, I did another search. I was playing around with it. And it was the male voice that came back. And I said, wait a minute. I thought you told me that you couldn't change the voice. And it shot back, no, I can change the voice. Do you want me to change the voice? I said, no, I'm fine with the one that you've got now. But you told me previously you couldn't change the voice. I was going to have to change the voice. And he shot back and he says, oh, my apologies. I was wrong. I can change the voice. I'm like, holy shit.
Oh, yeah, it's that button right down there. I didn't see that before. Just another user.
I was like, wow. Okay. It can get a little uncanny, if you will.
Mm.
But, well, I mean, this is not surprising that they're making more and more money. I mean, I think they just finished a $40 billion round and now they're valued at like $300 billion or something. It's
$40 billion round. What was that for? Is this like a week's payroll?
This isn't Tesla.
Shit, that's just like a year of coffee there.
I know, right? I know. Well, kudos. It can go nowhere. Let's see. If I speak good English, it can go anywhere but up. Oh Lord. It's gonna be one of those. All right. Ben, hit us with the next one, please.
All right. So Amazon has announced Nova Act, a new AI agent capable of controlling web browsers to perform simple tasks. Yee. Developed by Amazon's San Francisco AGI lab, Nova Act will be a key component of the upcoming Alexa Plus upgrade. Imagine we'll have to buy all new devices too, I bet.
I won't because I don't have one. I don't have a functioning one in my house.
One of ours is a red ring.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't bothered to restart it. I just like looking at it. The system comes with an SDK allowing developers to build AI agent prototypes that can investigate, navigate websites, fill forms, and perform basic actions like ordering food or making reservations. I wonder if you can file insurance claims. According to Amazon's internal tests, Nova Act outperforms similar. They all outperform each other.
They do.
Similar offerings from OpenAI and Anthropic. Yeah, whatever. Amazon doesn't do one thing great. They do everything about 75% at best.
That's fair. That's fair.
Scoring 94% on the ScreenSpot web text evaluation. The project is led by former OpenAI researchers David Luan and Peter Abil, who view AI agents as a stepping stone toward super intelligent AI systems. While the technology shows promise, it enters a crowded space. Yeah, it's always crowded. Mm-hmm. It's going to be crowded.
Mm-hmm.
Where existing AI agents struggle with reliability and independence.
You know what this reminds me of, Ben, is previous conversations where you've talked about having AI agents that can do certain things like with trouble tickets and things like that. You know, I don't know if this could potentially be like the foundation of something like that.
And I think it can already be done.
You think so?
Yeah. Well, I have it in my journal here. A task on a list of tasks to research. I was going to do it with Anthropic.
Yeah, which is funny to me because they talk about Nova Act outperforms similar offerings from OpenAI and Anthropic. You know who one of the biggest investors in Anthropic is? Amazon. Yes. Yeah.
It's just, Well, and it's led by former OpenAI people.
Man, I tell you, all of this stuff is the Alabamian family tree, it seems like.
Yeah.
That's there's one famous that exists.
There's one well-known grandpappy somewhere.
I was waiting on Sam to go.
I mean, it is. It's every company that exists. It's like you go, I will go to this smaller thing that has nothing to do with the big person I'm trying to get away from owns this smaller one. And this is just a front. Yeah, that makes sense. Like that's a huge thing.
Yeah, there's going to be a bunch of antitrust lawsuits coming up.
Hey, that's like today. We don't have it in the notes at all because it's breaking news. But so the whole TikTok thing, you know, the deadline is April 5th. Well, you know who two of the companies that have thrown their hat in the ring, and one of them is not necessarily being taken seriously? OnlyFans, through another company called Zoop, and Amazon. Mm-hmm. And the White House actually responded to the Amazon and was like, yeah, we don't think they're actually being serious. I'm like, why not? Why not? But the funny thing to me is I made a joke in our family chat about OnlyFans. I said, oh, so it'd be OnlyTalk.
Mm.
You know?
I mean, they have tried really hard to go, we're not just porn. I swear, we're not just porn. We do other things. Like, there are actually people out there that don't do porn and stuff like that.
Comedians are on there.
Everyone knows them for porn. Like, that's a thing they can't get past. So maybe.
I mean, a couple of years ago? They were like, we're not doing porn anymore. And then within just a couple of days, they're like, well, you know, if we want to continue to have an ongoing business concern, we might want to go back to porn.
Yeah.
Because I don't give it.
We're not doing porn anymore.
Yeah.
And then, well, we got to pay the bills.
If there's, I'll say it. Why not? If there's one group you don't want to tick off, and I know this through, I have an advanced Rolodex of about any sort of person you want at this point. For some reason, I collect one of each person. You don't want to piss sex workers off. You don't. It does not go well for you if you do. Let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Because you suddenly become the company that marginalized a whole group of people.
Well, by the same token, you don't want to piss off your porn consumers either.
You don't. No, that's...
I mean, look at every state out there that's like, well, we're going to do age verification. And Pornhub's like, well, you just ticked off all of your constituents because we're not going to let them actually view this from your state. And suddenly all the VPN went sky high. So it's like, yeah, there's two innovators in the world, two, the best innovators of technology in the world, war and sex.
Mm-hmm.
That is, if you look at all of the technologies that we have today for the internet, the thing that drove video and audio at its core was how can I get my freak on and watch some sex online? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the truth. And then the other is every time you have a war, we develop new technology so that we can kill other people more efficiently and quicker than we've ever done before. And then when the war's over, we take that technology and go, oh, hey, we now have flying cars and, well, no, not really, but you get the point. You get the point.
Yep.
So, well, that was a tangent.
Whenever I think about this technology, though, the thing that pops into my skull is accessibility things. So I kind of like that there are multiples in this field, because it's going to make them innovate, because they have to fight with each other. And anytime there's competition, there's innovation. That's like a thing that people constantly say.
Oh, yeah.
For a reason. Mm-hmm. If we could get these things to operate at a good enough level, because we're just getting started, right?
Oh, yeah.
But if we get them to operate at a good enough level, then they could augment things like the screen readers that vision impaired people use and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the sort of stuff that pops into my head. Cause I'm like, I'll just do it myself. but for someone that needs legitimate help with those specific things, that's the sort of stuff that I think about whenever I see things like this.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. I think what we're facing is, we don't know all the ways that this technology is going to actually change our lives.
Mm.
Hopefully for the better. I'm not advocating for Skynet at all. some days I feel like it, but not right now. So I know that, like I said, there's a lot of naysayers out there, but I for one, and my son Tyler, anytime I talk about, well, I use ChatGPT for this, and he'll just, you know, metaphorically roll his eyes. And I'm like, dude, it's whether you like it or not, this technology is here to stay and it's only getting better. And, you know, I'm not out here trying to write up lawsuits like those lawyers were a year or two ago. And, you know, it started referencing cases that it just dreamed up out of whole cloth because they weren't actually there. They did not happen. I don't use it for that, but I use it for creativity and research and things like that, where I will write, you know, if I'm writing something, if I'm writing an email that I need to get to a client, and I'll write everything down, and I still feel like I'm a fairly decent writer, but I will copy that. I'll throw it in there and I'll say, rewrite this to make it a little bit more professional. And I have never been let down. You know, sometimes I'll have to change something here or there that I don't like the way it said it, but for the most part, it's now just a tool, and it is a very helpful tool for my needs. I mean, you know, redoing contracts with clients, I basically said, here's what I need, generate me a contract that I can go in and edit and make changes to. You know, I've shown those to Ben. I mean, they look like a lawyer drawed them up. So, you know, I'm okay with this technology. I like it. I mean, there is a question, is it making us dumber? No, there's other things in this world that are making us dumber. Trust me. All right, let's move on. Sam.
I will add, I'm not going to count on Amazon being the front runner at any point.
No.
In this, I mean, they'll develop something, they'll use it, but they're not the pioneers. They're actually kind of lagging behind OpenAI, Anthropic, Google, and Meta.
Yeah, and unfortunately, they're kind of like Google in some respects, where they'll launch products and then within 2 years they'll just shit can them, and you know, move on to something else.
Like that big fat businessman in the community who sees a good thing and he makes his own and makes a big marketing thing. And then once it doesn't make money, it just drops it and everybody loses.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Like all right. Walmart.
Speaking of Walmart, no. Next up. Next story. Sam.
Can you imagine? Anyway, new Windows 11 build makes mandatory Microsoft account sign-in even more mandatory. This is a story from Ars Technica. Microsoft is removing the bypass NRO command prompt script in a new Windows 11 Insider build, which has been a popular method for bypassing the mandatory Microsoft account sign-in requirement during Windows installation. Microsoft claims this change is, quote, to enhance security and user experience, unquote, and ensure all users complete setup with internet connectivity and a Microsoft account. While this change is currently only in the dev channel build, it may reach public versions by the fall of 2H25H2 update. The bypass NRO command will continue to work in current stable versions of Windows 11, including the 24H2 update.
Okay. I have one thing to say. Microsoft claims this change is to enhance security and user experience and ensure all users complete setup with internet connectivity and a Microsoft. Bullshit. That is not the reason why they're doing it. I tell you, the bypass NRO is a godsend. I use it every single time I set up a new Windows 11 machine.
I never knew about it.
You didn't see it? I literally have a label on the monitor that's mounted on the wall over my workbench that has the command there. Yeah.
I don't work at your workbench.
Well, you know, there's always...
I just left it disconnected during that out of box experience.
It won't get past it. That's the thing. If you
it has before.
No, Windows 11? No, yeah. Windows 11. Okay, in my experience, your experience may be different, but in my experience, especially if it's a Windows 11 home, you may be asking why I'm dealing with a Windows 11 home. I don't know. I've got some crazy clients. I've got some cheap clients. I don't know. Anyway, if you do not have an a internet connection to Windows 11 home, it will not let you complete the setup. So now you may, I think there's a way in Pro that you can, because I know this worked in 10, that you can say, I'm on a domain, and then it would let you do that. There's since home versions cannot connect to a domain, that option's not there. So you basically, as soon as you get to the very first screen where it would say, hey, welcome to Windows 11, blah, 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 you do Shift F10 to get you to the command prompt. You type in this bypass NRO, hit enter, it reboots. And then when it comes back in, and don't connect up the network at all. When it comes back in, it walks you through and never asks you for a Microsoft account. It just asks you to create a local account. Now, the one thing that they did notate, I'm trying to find it in this article. I've already added it to my knowledge base. But there's another switch. There's another command that you can use now that the bypass NRO will be removed from the dev builds. It still works and lets you get past it. But every time, it's like playing whack-a-mole. Every time we have this feature that Microsoft doesn't just blatantly come out and go, hey, guys, you know, you can actually bypass our mandatory Microsoft account setup by using this. This little tool, they don't let you know. And then people learn about it. And then Microsoft's like, yeah, we probably need to get rid of that. And I'm like, guys, you're really trying to push us to 2025 being the year of the Linux desktop, aren't you?
You stole my line.
Yeah. I don't know what we're going to do as IT professionals when it gets to the point where we just absolutely cannot get past this crap, because one of the things that aggravates me the most when dealing with a client situation is when their computers are logged in using a Microsoft account. That creates so many issues that I don't like dealing with. And especially, I have one client that uses a Active Directory controller. None of the other ones do. So I don't know about your situation, Ben, but that's the way it is for me.
I got three or four, you know, the larger ones, Brun AD.
I have two that have 42 plus workstations. One's got 43, the other one's got 60 something. Neither one of them use Active Directory.
Yuck.
Yeah. And they don't want to pay for it. They don't see the need for it. And quite honestly, one of them, the 60 something workstations, they don't need it. It's not, it would be wasted on them, because honestly, everybody uses the same username, the same password on every workstation because that's the way they want it.
Well, and there's probably a lot of turnover in certain areas.
Yes. In one main area for sure. And that's the reason why whenever I got that client, the owner told me this is the way I want it, because I never know who's going to be sitting at those desks. And I was like, okay. So there you go. Well, we'll see. I still don't like Windows 11 as much as I do 10, but what are you going to do? Next up, OpenAI says, our GPUs are melting. They're melting. As it limits ChatGPT image generation requests. This is an article from The Verge. OpenAI has implemented temporary rate limits on ChatGPT's image generation feature due to overwhelming demand, according to CEO Sam Altman in a post on Twitter. Altman humorously noted that, quote, our GPUs are melting from the high usage. The company is working to make the process more efficient while managing the massive infrastructure load. Free tier users will soon be limited to 3 images per day, while the company's GPT-4o model continues to produce increasingly realistic images with improved capabilities like text rendering. Yeah, I'm a paid subscriber to it. Ben, you are too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I got a friend who does the $200 a month thing. And I'm like, you're out of your freaking.
That's me. That's me.
Do you do the 200?
I think I'm going to knock it down though.
Because my other friend, the guy I used to work for, he, a couple of months ago, he told me, he's like, yeah, I went for the $200 a month one. And I'm like, yeah, well, you've got more money than you got cents. So I didn't say that about Ben. Ben's actually going, I think I'm going to knock that down, but I can't see where I would need $200. But it's, as I've already said, we've already played around with the fact that it's impressive. And the, I'm trying to remember, there was one that I was generating for one of the podcasts, and it literally put the name of the podcast on it. I said, I need you to generate, will you please generate this image? I gave it some stuff and I said, for this podcast. And it put the name of the podcast on there, except it put the word podcast, which, you know, if anybody in marketing for podcasts nowadays will tell you, don't use the word podcast in the title of your podcast. So I was like, well, that's a great image, but can you remove the word podcast? And it was like, sure. And it come back and it gave me the same image, but it removed the word podcast. And I was like, you're just too smart. Just too smart. But yeah, you know, we joke about the fact that, you know, every time we generate an image, it's emptying a reservoir somewhere. They say this uses up, I mean, it uses a crap ton of energy, and the cooling required for that, those massive servers, is the joke about it basically emptying out reservoirs of water. So what they need to do is they need to move the data centers under the ocean, and then problem solved.
Yeah, that'll sort out the ice caps melting.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we could throw them in space. I mean, yeah, if we
could solar power them a little bit more efficiently.
Yeah, I mean, if you already have LEOs, like you've got Starlink, so they're low Earth orbital, just throw up data centers up there. I'm being facetious, okay? But I'm pretty sure there's some way of doing something like that. It'd just be mini data center clusters. You know, like the size of the Starlink satellites, you just have a bunch of those, and they're all interlinked with lasers or some crap. And all right, I think I'm delirious. We'll move on.
No, move it underwater. And then you can move the headquarters in a hollowed out volcano that has a casino as the front. And we'll totally pull this off.
All right, Dr. Evil.
And we'll have freaking sharks with freaking lasers attached to their freaking heads. That's we'll do this.
Lasers. I like it. I like it. Okay. Well, let's move on. We have another story. And I think it's Ben. He's like, are you awake?
I hadn't scrolled. All right. Google Chrome password manager compromised by new AI code attack. They're coming.
Mm-hmm.
A disturbing new research report from Cato Networks reveals that hackers can now use AI language models to create password-stealing malware targeting Google Chrome's password manager without any coding experience. That's magical. The technique, dubbed Immersive World. What the shit is that?
I don't know, but I love it. I like the title.
Uses narrative engineering. That's what they call vibe coding.
Narrative engineering?
Narrative engineering.
Yeah, vibe coding.
We just call it vibe coding.
Yep.
To bypass AI security measures by creating a fictional world where the AI is assigned specific roles. A researcher successfully demonstrated this by getting three different AI tools to generate malicious code that could extract credentials from Chrome's password manager. The report also highlights alarming statistics about information theft, with 2.1 billion credentials already compromised and 85 million stolen passwords being actively used in attacks. Additionally, Zscaler's research shows a 3,000% year-over-year increase in enterprise AI tool usage, with ChatGPT leading at 45.2% of global transactions. Many organizations are blocking AI transactions due to security concerns, with 59.9% of AI and machine learning transactions being blocked by enterprises.
The number of people that save their passwords in the browser. It's maddening. I used to fight this. I used to, years ago, I was like, please do not do that. And they're like, but if I don't, then I won't let, okay. There are these things called password managers. You know, some of them are free. Some of them you actually have to pay a little bit to get more features and what have you. But, and there are versions, most of them, I know LastPass. Now, I used to use LastPass, and LastPass actually had like a company, like you could have, it costs more, but it was like a company version where, you know, one person had the master keys, but then you could have other people up under it. And so that way, if you had a team of 10, 20 or whatever, they could all have the password manager on their computers. I use Bitwarden. I'm not sure if it does that or not, but the point is, don't store your damn passwords in Chrome. Please, just don't do it.
Or Edge.
Either one. I mean, it's basically the same. So now I'm going to look at the non-techie guy in this group and ask Sam, do you store your passwords in your browser?
Really? How dare you, sir? How dare you besmirch my honor, sir? A duel at dawn for suggesting that I would. I use Bitwarden. I did use LastPass.
Yeah.
And then they had all of that stuff happen. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to move away from LastPass now.
Yeah, that's exactly what I did. Did you learn about Bitwarden from me, or did you learn about it from somebody else?
I did research on the internet and found it. That's essentially what happened.
Yeah. I mean, I liked LastPass, but then when they had that major security breach, I was like, no.
Yeah.
And
same.
You know, Bitwarden has a free tier, or had a free tier. I guess they still do. So I
have it.
Okay. Because
I'm on it.
Well, I pay $12 a year or something like that. So I it's one of those things where I feel like I need to contribute to this product that I mm-hmm. use. Now, I mean, if it was $20 a month or something like that, I'd be like, maybe not. But it's either $12 or $20 a year. I mean, LastPass was only like $12 or $14. And so far, other than the cosmetic changes that they made in Bitwarden a couple of months ago that threw me, I used to be able to, in the browser, I would click it, and then I would actually click the thing that I wanted, and it would fill it in. Well, one day I noticed that they had updated the extension, and I went to click where I normally would click, and instead of it filling it in, it opened it up so I could edit it. And then I noticed that they had changed it so that there was now, to the right of it, a button that said fill. And I was like, I don't like that. But, oh well, I guess it is what it is. So, otherwise, I mean, I use it to generate passwords. I don't know the passwords to my bank accounts. None of the credit cards, none of that stuff. It's,
same.
You know, and I don't want to know them. So,
if someone puts a gun to my head, I'm just going to have to say, shoot, because I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's like, And you're not opening my phone either. Because there's a trick on iPhones that you can do. It's two buttons you press. It's always recommended, like if you're going to be going out of the country, you press those and it requires the next time it's open to put your PIN code in. It will not do face.
Okay.
And the reason why is because under law, the PIN, you cannot be forced to enter the PIN code on your phone. But if they can hold the phone up to your face, they got you.
Yep.
That kind of thing. All right, Sam, next story, please.
Yep. How to avoid US-based digital services and why you might want to. This is an article from Wired. The Wired article discusses the growing trend of people moving their digital lives away from US-based services due to concerns over big tech companies aligning with the Trump administration policies. The article details how major companies like Meta, Google, and Apple have made policy changes to accommodate the administration, including controversial decisions around content moderation, data sharing, and privacy policies. It provides a comprehensive list of non-US alternatives for various digital services, from email, like ProtonMail, to mapping services like Magic Earth and OpenStreetMap, and social media platforms. The piece emphasizes how these companies' roles as gatekeepers of personal data have become more concerning given their increasing cooperation with government authorities.
So I'm going to ask Sam first, what do you think about this? Do you feel that you have a need to move away from any US-based companies for email or anything like that? Or do you feel comfortable using like Gmail and what have you?
I'm fine, and I'm going to have one of those weird takes. I'm almost going to channel my inner Justin Robert Young a little bit in this particular situation. This happens with every administration. I don't know if we've forgotten the times that every single time they're like, give us a back door, do all of that stuff. Like, this happens all the dang time. If we think it's just happening now, we're foolish. Like, this is a thing. If something is free, you are the product. So even if it's not the government getting in there, something is going on and you need to know that. So I'm always the guy that anytime that the European Union gets their knickers in a twist about something and goes, here is our latest lawsuit, I'm the one in the back rolling his eyes and going, oh, great, here we go again. You know, because every single time this happens and stuff. So that's sort of my weird hot take with the whole thing. It's totally fine if everyone else has a different take. That's just my specific way of thinking about it. So,
yeah, I think when it comes to the European Union, we could use maybe a tenth of some of the stuff that they've done. But from my personal opinion, they go way overboard on a lot of the stuff that they do.
It's a cultural thing.
Now, so, I will say this, the one advantage that it did provide us is it did force Apple to switch over to USB-C on their phones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, that I'm thankful for. But them trying to force Apple to go, well, you're going to have to allow other stores. And I'm like, why? That makes no sense. Because I don't want other app stores on my iPhone. I trust the Apple App Store. It's vetted. I don't know what these other ones are doing. I mean, we already have that problem on the Android ecosystem. You just never know.
Right.
So, but Ben, what do you think about this?
I'm making no changes. I mean, you want to be afraid of policies here in the States, and you want to host your services where you have even less control?
That's true. I will say this. I do use ProtonMail, but I didn't use it because I was afraid of big tech or what this current regime, it's not an administration, it's a regime, what they would do. It's just, I like it. And it's, you know, it's headquartered over in, I believe, New Zealand or Sweden or somewhere. It's in one of those countries where they ain't getting my data. Let's just put it that way. But I do pay for it. I pay like $5 a month, but it's some of my other domains, like Tifton Media Works is hosted there. But my company email, Office 365, I've got a handful of Gmail accounts. I probably have more Gmail accounts than I can remember and some that have been dormant for a long time that hopefully they've been canceled, but as you know, I'm one of those guys that, I need new email. And then I don't do anything with it. You know, 6 months later, I'm like, I did what? So, but yeah, I mean, let's face it. in America and for a better part of the world, the two best email platforms out there are owned by Microsoft and Google, hands down. And you're right. With Gmail, it's free. You're the product. So I don't have any problems with it. I mean, the fact that there's so many things that I can just go click and log in with my Gmail account and I don't have to worry about creating a whole new account or anything like that. You know, you can still do that with Facebook. You can still do that with Twitter. There's no way in hell I'm going to log in with anything with a Facebook account or a Twitter account, but I will with a Gmail account. And that may be naive. I don't know. But I don't really see the need to move anything. I mean, let's see. What's his name? Adam Curry. Adam Curry, from what I understand, the last time I really listened to anything that he did, because I haven't listened to No Agenda in years, and his podcasting 2.0 podcast that he does, Adam's one of those people that I started out really liking, and now I can't stand him.
I can't imagine what specific thing he changed in his life that might make you feel that way. Anyway, I'm picking on you. Yeah. I'm picking on you.
I know what
he's
you're
talking about. He's one of us now. Anyway.
I know what you're talking about, but no. It had nothing to do with that.
You're going to have to let me in on that one.
Oh, he got religion. He decided that he decided to embrace Christianity.
What the disgusted look on your face, sir.
I mean, you know, that's a discussion for another day. But no, that doesn't have anything to do with it.
I'm just picking on the militaristic atheist in the room. That's all I'm doing. That's
there's two of us here.
But one of you is more polite about it.
hey, I'm better than I used to be.
You are.
I just avoid the conversation.
I generally do too. It doesn't have anything to do with that. It has to do with the, I don't know. He just got more. It's hard to pinpoint. I mean, number one, when you're someone who denies that we actually landed on the moon, I think I'm pretty much done with you. But
yeah.
He used to run his own email server in his house.
Yeah.
Because he's one of those, and that, you know, if you've ever listened to No Agenda, then you can understand why. But he's one of those where he truly believes in the deep state and all this other kind of shit. So he's not going to let, you know, big tech or anybody have his data. You know, his email is going to be on his server in his house where he controls it. Won't even put it in a data center. I'm like, okay, that's cool. And I played around with that. I mean, not to be hypocritical, but I do run an email server under Proxmox in my office here. But I do it for one-off crap, not because of, I don't need anybody to be able to get their hands on this data. No, it's just, I need a place to host this email real quick for a domain that I own. I'll throw it on there. Not a big deal.
A convenient place where a bunch of stuff doesn't pile on your main ones in order to go, well, I got to deal with this now. That
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, I could use something like that. I was playing around with having some kind of script send email, and it flooded the server with messages and it got locked out. Like, no, you can't send mail anymore, bud. So I was like, maybe I need my own little testing rig. So yeah, I could use something like that.
Yeah. Mm. I actually run a product called iRed Mail, IRED Mail. And they have a pro version. And oh boy, do they really think the pro version must be made out of gold pressed latinum, because it's expensive as hell. But there's no reason for me to buy it, because the free version does exactly what I need it to do. You log in, you create domains, you create accounts, and you know, Bob's your uncle. And I've got it set up where it actually bounces my outbound mail through I just forgot the name of it, but it's one of these, it's one of these mailing services that you can use, and it keeps your reputation up and all of that kind of stuff. I want to say MailGrid. That's one of them, but it's not that one. It's a MailGun. MailGun is the one I use. So I've got it set up to where it bounces mail through that. And I mean, it works. It's got its own nice little web interface for checking mail and all that kind of good stuff. But yeah, Ben, if you ever want to set up anything like that, I can back up my Proxmox image and you can restore it and change some stuff if you needed to.
I just give you credentials to mine and you can do it for me.
Oh, okay. What a pal. pal.
Well, since you were offering, that's kind of what it sounded like, right?
Oh, is that what wow. Okay. I guess
you walked right into that one, Atkinson.
apparently it did.
I just need my AI assistant to be able to do that.
Okay, let's wrap it up with the last story. I think this one's mine. Is it mine or is it Sam's?
I just did one.
You just did one. Okay. Yes. Okay. All right. It's mine. Apple streaming losses top $1 billion per year for Apple TV Plus. And then there's thunder. So according to a report by The Information, Apple TV Plus is experiencing significant, I tell you, financial losses exceeding $1 billion annually. Don't feel bad for Apple, though, because they are a $3 trillion company that has more on-hand cash than any other corporation in the world. I think they can survive. The streaming service currently has approximately 45 million subscribers and spends around $4.5 billion on content yearly, but that's down from $5 billion in previous years. The service costs $9.99 a month or $99.99 a year in the U.S. and is unique among major streaming services for not offering an ad-supported tier. However, many subscribers may be accessing the service through various promotional deals or bundles, meaning the actual revenue per user is likely less than the standard subscription price. Despite these losses, they represent a minimal impact on Apple's overall financial health, as the company generated a measly $391 billion in revenue and $93.7 billion in net profit for fiscal.
Mere chump change.
I know.
$1 billion? I lose more than that running for the bus.
$93.7 billion in net profit for fiscal year 2024. Yeah, that is one thing. Every time, if you buy any kind of major Apple device, usually comes with a free 6 months, 3 months, or whatever of Apple TV Plus. Whenever I was going through for a client I had last year, and we had those 12 iPads, every single iPad I had to keep going in, and it was like, hey, you want to get this 6 months of free Apple Fitness? No. Mm-hmm. You want to get this 6 months of free Apple Arcade? No. Do you want to get this six? I was like, can I just answer once on one of these devices and you just kind of cascaded across? The answer was no. you could not do it. Every time I would do something with one of these iPads, I had to do it. 12 iPads times three different services. I was getting aggravated. But yeah. I mean, Apple's got The TV Plus, they've got some pretty decent shows on there. I know there's this one show that everybody's giving Jason at GOG hell about, Severance. We watched two episodes of Severance and I went, no, thank you.
I think it's good.
Do you watch
I watched the first season, my subscription's up.
Oh yeah.
I watched the first season and I like the premise behind it. It's a unique take.
It is unique. I will give you that. I mean, we try. There's an unwritten rule in our house between me and my wife that we try to give a series three episodes. We'll watch three episodes and then make a decision of whether or not it's something that we want to continue. She and I both agreed after the second episode, no, this is not something that we're interested in at all.
Can you remember why?
Yeah, I'm curious. I haven't watched it, but I know enough about it to where I'm curious.
it's more of a vibe. It's not, it's not the acting. It's not the cinematography. It's not the scripts themselves. It's just, as much of a sci-fi buff as I am, the entire conceit of this show, just, I was like, what? You know, and the fact that it came from the mind of, or at least he's a executive producer, Ben Stiller. And I'm like, but this is not even a comedy. So I don't know. It, like I said, it's hard to pinpoint. It was more of a vibe thing that it was just like, okay, I'll say this. If I don't have anything else to watch and I'm stranded on a desert island and I have a Starlink and an iPad, I might would watch it.
Maybe after requesting a rescue.
You know, I might find that I like being on the island by myself.
Unless Starlink had a TrueVista routing issue.
What in the hell just happened there, dude?
My power cut.
Okay.
For the battery right now, apparently.
For the audio listeners, we're doing this over Discord, and Ben's lighting just went nuts, and I was like, "What the hell happened?"
Is my camera still on?
Yeah,
because my monitors aren't connected to the UPS.
So is your power out?
Yeah.
Oh wow!
Everything's running on UPS, I guess.
Oh. Hey, that Generac generator is working great for you, isn't it?
Nope. I never bought one.
Me either. Me either. And that's because they never gave me a quote. Do you need to?
I might need to go.
Okay.
I don't know how long it hasn't come back on yet.
Yeah, it's rumbling, and you're the crow flies. I think you're probably what, 2 miles away from me, 3 miles away from me.
Yeah, it's not far, but it's starting to rain and the wind's blowing.
All right.
It may not. I may have to jet.
All right. Well, we're wrapping it up anyway. So That's it. That's the show because, well, Ben's about to get struck by lightning.
We lost our energy, literally.
Yeah, we lost our energy. I told you this was going to be a low energy episode. I did not know that it was going to come true for at least one of us.
We are tapped out now.
All right. Well, I guess that's where we'll wrap it up. Ben and I are nowhere. Well, actually, I'm over on Blue Sky at callmedonovan.com. Ben is, he doesn't do social media. And he's about to go anyway. So, Sam, when you're not here with us, you know, maybe every 2 weeks or so when your schedule allows, where can people find you and your stuff?
If you want to find all of my content that I make, tscn.tv is where you go for that. And if you want to find me on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, if it still exists in 2 weeks, if it doesn't, you'll have someone to talk to about it. And Twitch at tscnsam.
Good deal. Good deal. All right. Well, we're going to get out of here since Ben is barely making it on fumes now. So, and he can't see us. So we'll be back in 2 weeks, hopefully. Hopefully Ben will still be around.
We'll see.
All right, guys, we appreciate you taking the time to listen to us. You can check out the show over at southgeeknews.com. Apologize for any craziness of having to move it over to a different hosting provider, but it is what it is. If you want to leave us a voicemail, I'm trying out a new service called voicecast.app/SGN. So leave us a voicemail there and, you know, we may play it on the show. But until next time, for me, for Ben, who's quite powerless right now, and for Sam, this has been South Geek News. Y'all take care of yourselves, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
All right. Take care. Ta-ta.
This has been a production of Tifton Media Works. Check out all our podcasts by visiting tiftonmediaworks.com.